The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from the triune God who calls us beloved and who throws us into new things. Amen. Last week, we celebrated Transfiguration Sunday together, and we heard the story of Peter and James going with Jesus up a high mountain where Jesus had transfigured before their eyes, and a voice coming from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, listen to him." And now this week, we return to the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus goes to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. And just as he's coming up out of the water, a voice comes from the heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And then, bam! Immediately the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. In ancient Greek, the word used for drove is ekbale, which has a very graphic and somewhat violent connotation. Jesus got thrown out, ejected, pitched like a baseball with intention from the Jordan River directly into the wilderness. Have you ever felt like you were thrown into the wilderness, literally or figuratively? When I call to mind an image of the wilderness, my mind first jumps to the wilderness of Ethiopia, the birthplace of two of my children. When I traveled to Ethiopia to meet my children, I journeyed from the capital of Addis Ababa for about 18 hours by car to a rural village situated near the disputed border of Ethiopia and Sudan. I spent most of those 18 hours looking out the window at the wilderness, which was unlike any wilderness I had ever seen before. Everything was very dusty and brown and dry, with very little green growth or vegetation. We passed small mud huts. We passed children with yellowing hair from chronic malnutrition. And we passed lots and lots of goats and donkeys and long-horned cattle with humps on their backs to conserve water in that dry and arid climate. I had been instructed to carry with me enough food and water for 3 days, as where we were going, there was no food and little water, and we would travel one day out, stay a day, and then return to Addis Ababa on the third day. This was a wilderness, a desolate space that was not simply set apart, but set in an area that was only conducive to survival of the fittest. I stayed at the orphanage where there was no electricity, so we all went to bed when it got dark at 7 p.m., and we all got out of bed when it started to become light at 7 a.m. And when I visited the local food market, the vegetables were tiny and stunted and sold in little bundles of 3 to 5. Imagine little carrots or little onions being sold in these little packets of 3 to 5. I found myself to be in a literal wilderness, a true space of desolation. One can also feel like they're thrown into a type of wilderness when life takes a sudden twist or turn. A loved one gets sick. A relationship breaks beyond repair. A job is lost. A diagnosis is made. You and I might even feel disoriented and powerless when our daily rhythms or experiences change in ways that we did not expect or anticipate. One of the reasons I love studying the Gospel of John is that this gospel writer does not sugarcoat anything. This gospel is real and raw. It is fast-paced and surprising and confusing and challenging. It sucks us into its narrative so that we are part of the story. And today's story, it's only set in 6 verses. And in those 6 verses, Jesus travels from Nazareth to the Jordan River, which alone would have taken several days. He gets baptized by John, the heavens tear apart, the Spirit descends, Jesus is thrown into the wilderness for 40 days, and then Jesus returns to Galilee and begins his public ministry of proclaiming the good news of God. All of this in 6 verses. Life for Jesus moves fast. I wonder what all of this felt like for Jesus. Was it disorienting? Exciting? Challenging? And then in the following 4 verses that follow these 6, Jesus calls his first 4 disciples who drop everything and leave all they know behind to follow Jesus. I wonder what it felt like for those disciples and for their families. And John the Baptist, he went from being the one out in the wilderness, attracting crowds of people, the one who was baptizing and proclaiming the forgiveness of sins, to being arrested. The Gospel of Mark is filled with these stories of tension that are left unresolved as it moves immediately and continually through Jesus' ministry. Jesus is on the move. A new rhythm has begun. The critical Kairos time is upon them, and everyone's lives are disrupted. Everything is changing for the disciples. Everything is changing for the crowds of people seeking Jesus. And everything is changing for Jesus. And it is changing fast. About 500 years before Jesus was born, ancient Greek philosopher Heraclitus of Ephesus is attributed to saying, "The only constant in life is
change."
Though change is a constant part of the human experience, it's often accompanied by a whole range of feelings associated with it that can span from fear to excitement. In fact, the human response to change has been researched by many and expressed in stages moving from shock and denial to anger and depression to acceptance and experimentation and renewal. And Kairos time, the kind of time Jesus was proclaiming in this passage, the critical time when the eternal God ushers in a new season, these times are laden with change. And we are in a Kairos time, a season of change. Our Christ the King community is experiencing changes in leadership, changes in staff, changes in the taste of the wine, changes in who we see next to us and across from us in the pews, changes of focus, changes of culture. This change is hard. And I know that as a community, a variety of feelings exist around these changes. If I'm honest with you, I will admit I am in the middle of change as well and experiencing similar emotions. When I submitted my paperwork for a new call, it felt as if immediately I was swooped up and thrown into a new environment, a new culture, and new experiences that bring a lot of different emotions. It is completely normal for you and I to be experiencing all of these feelings, and it might be quite some time before we settle into our new relationship together and our new future community that will continue to grow and change. But I say to you with confidence, I am committed to you. I'm not going anywhere. I am here to be with you during this Kairos season of Christ the King's ministry. And in the midst of this messy season of change, today we are receiving good news from the Gospel of Mark that comes from two things: a sound and bookends. The sound, a ripping, a tearing, a splitting open sound. The bookends, the Greek verb for this splitting sound, occurs exactly twice in the Gospel of Mark. Here at the beginning, in chapter 1, verse 10, and then again at the end in chapter 15, verse 38, at Jesus' death. And in both, God is the one doing the action. Here, God is ripping open the heavens so that the Spirit can dive down right into Jesus. Jesus comes up out of the water as the Spirit dives down and crashes right into him so that Jesus embodies the Spirit and the Spirit embodies Jesus. And at the end of the Gospel of Mark, we hear this verb used again at the time of Jesus' death on the cross. Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last breath, and the curtain of the temple was torn, ripped, split in two from top to bottom. The significance of this temple curtain being torn or split apart by God is that access to God has opened up. No longer is the Holy of Holies only available for the select few priests to encounter, but God's promise embodied in Jesus is that God is with us. We are not in the wilderness of our lives alone. God is with us, and we are with each other. That hope is the good news that Jesus is proclaiming. Repent, turn towards the God who is flying full speed, crashing into you, the God who's brooding over you and around you and in you like the Spirit embodying Jesus. Hear God saying to you, you are beloved. Regardless of what the world tells you and me, or even what we might tell ourselves, you and I are valued and loved by our triune God, who says in these wilderness times of change, of fear, of anxiety, turn toward me and believe in the good news. We have full access to God at all times, who is in community with us, as an example of how we are called to be in community with each other, with love and grace and forgiveness. In a single moment, everything can change. But in every moment, God remains faithful and present with us, brooding over us as an embodied promise. May we pause this Lenten season to be in community with God and with each other. May we be patient and kind with each other during this Kairos season of change. And may we remember that God is fully with us in the wilderness moments of our lives, calling us beloved and calling us to embody God's love in all the world. Amen.